As announced, the scripture reading this evening will be from Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. Again, Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And this is Jesus speaking to the apostles. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Again, that was Matthew chapter 10, 16 through 23.
Good to be here tonight. As always, we appreciate everyone's presence. Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verse 13 in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 at verse 13. Paul was a wonderful writer. His books, of course, are always very orderly. And I know a lot of times I talk about Paul going on asides a lot, and he would do that quite frequently. And you might think because of that, that his books weren't very orderly, but really it's the very opposite. His epistles were very, very orderly. They always had a good introduction, often call that the salutations of Paul. And then he would have a body, the main teaching that he wanted to get across generally would include several different subjects, and then he would close it off and have a conclusion to it. And you might think that the most important teaching would come in the body of his epistles, and that's probably true. But it's amazing what great teachings we get and lessons we learn from the salutations, and also when he would say farewell to the people that he was writing to. His conclusions are always filled with gems of things that we can learn from and apply to our lives. And so it's a pretty good study just to look at his introductions to his epistles and his conclusions to his epistles alone. We have all kind of practical points upon which we can live. And here in 1 Corinthians 16, of course, the 1 Corinthians was a magnificent epistle. And it's not really like the book of Romans. We often praise the book of Romans as being one of the great pieces of literature that we have. And those who are experts in that sort of thing even say that about Paul's letter, as you've heard me say before, not those who are biblical scholars or anything, but just experts in literature, just praise the book of Romans and how it was written. And, well, 1 Corinthians is another great epistle, but it is because it has several very important subject matters, like 1 Corinthians 15 and the whole chapter basically dealing with the resurrection, which is a foundation of our Christianity, one of them. And so it's a very important epistle. It's impressive just because of the boldness of Paul. Like, the church at Corinth was an absolute mess, and Paul hit that head on. He didn't pull any punches when it came down to rebuking them and letting them know what condition that they were in. And he was just straightforward with that. And so very impressive epistle. And now he comes to the end of it. And in his final instructions that he gives, his conclusion, his farewell, he says again several wonderful things. But I've always appreciated verse 13. Because Paul, in this particular, in that particular verse, he kind of is viewing the situation from a military standpoint. And that's not unusual. Paul often did that. You think of the many passages in which Paul views us as soldiers of Christ and talks about the spiritual warfare in which we are engaged. He does that quite frequently. And so we're not surprised that he would view or try to paint a picture that has the military and warfare in view as he's encouraging Christians. And that's what he does here. And what we need to look at, how we need to view this passage is, you know that in war, basically you have a series of battles. And you'll have one battle after another. And in these kind of battles, the soldiers will position themselves where they're supposed to be, waiting for the enemy to attack. And they know the enemy is not out there, but they really, at this point, they can't even see the enemy. They just know there's going to be a battle. And so they just have to position themselves there and prepare. And then finally the enemy will come over the mountain or the hill or whatever, and they'll see that, yes, there is indeed going to be a battle. And then the enemy will draw closer and finally kind of settle in real close to them, maybe 200 feet away or so, or 500, whatever, just real right up on them where they can actually see their ranks and know what they're about to get into and what they're up against. And then finally the charge will take place and the battle will begin. And Paul kind of is painting that kind of picture and the various attitudes that the soldier should have in every step of that situation. And it's applicable to the life of a Christian because we know we're in warfare. And it's an ongoing warfare, and it basically is composed of one battle after another. We're just in these battles over and over again, and that's basically the way it will be until Christ comes back or until we die. And so what should our attitude be in these battles and in these different stages of the battle? Well, first, in 1 Corinthians 16, at verse 13, Paul simply says, be watchful. Remember now, here you've set yourself up and you can't even yet see the enemy. You don't know what the nature of the attack is going to be yet. You're just kind of waiting and waiting. And so Paul says, be watchful. It is very easy at that particular time. You might be at that stage of the battle before you even see the enemy. You're just waiting for the enemy to appear. That might last an hour or two or several hours. And it's possible you might get bored there and get a little bit sleepy. You might even doze off. And the leader, the captain, or whoever is in charge will be walking up and down the ranks and telling them, wake up, be alert, watch. And that is a good exhortation for us in this battle that we're in. When we're at a time in our life where things are peaceful and we don't really see the threat and things are kind of in our favor and going our way, and we begin to get distracted and sometimes we lose focus. And the cry is, watch. Be awake. Don't fall asleep because the enemy is out there. And the enemy is going to attack, and we may not know exactly when or exactly how, but we need to watch and be ready. And we see that exhortation over and over, especially as it relates to the coming of Christ. You might remember in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus himself. at verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, and at verse 42, he says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day our Lord will come. But know that this, that if the master of the house had known and what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And then, of course, in the very next chapter, at the conclusion of the great parable of the 10 virgins, at verse 13, Matthew 25, at verse 13, he simply says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And I know, again, these passages are talking about the second coming of Christ, but they would be applicable even with regard to the battles that we are constantly in. Watch out. Be ready. Stay awake. Because you don't know when the attack is going to come. You remember when Paul was saying farewell to the elders of Ephesus and in Acts chapter 20. And beginning at verse 28, Acts, the 20th chapter, and at verse 28, he says to the elders, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he has obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, they haven't arrived yet. And at least they're not out there outwardly. You don't see them. You don't see the threat yet, but Paul is just warning them about this. He says at verse 30, and from among yourselves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Now, they might already be in the midst and just kind of disguising themselves at that stage, or maybe they're there, but they haven't yet developed an ungodly disposition or given into some false doctrine yet. But it's coming. It's coming. And Paul knew it was coming. And so he says at verse 31, therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. The threat is real. And even though you can't see it, and even though you're at peace right now, and even though it seems as if everything is going good, everything's going well, be alert. Watch. And that's exactly what we should do as a local congregation. We need to watch for false teachers. We need to watch for false doctrine. We need to always be on guard. We need to watch against materialism and humanism and all kind of isms that are out there that can attack us and destroy our soul. Even though we don't see it yet, we need to be alert. And then the enemy finally appears over the hill. And you notice again in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul then says, stand firm in the faith. Because now you know there's going to be a battle. It may have just been theory in your own mind. Some people in this battle who are lined up and waiting for the enemy to appear, there would be some veterans there in that situation, but there would be some soldiers there who had never even been in a battle. This is something new to them. And so they have thought about it and they have imagined what it was going to be like or what it will be like when the battle begins. You know, usually when you're in that situation, you view yourself in a very favorable way. Like, man, when the enemy appears, when the fighting begins, I'm going to be right there and I'm going to be one of the heroes of the battle and I'm going to take down many of the enemy and all of that. But when you first see the enemy, and Now you know it's not just in your imagination. It's not just a theory. It's not just thought. There is indeed going to be a battle. Sometimes dispositions change at that point. And Paul says it's then you need to stand firm in the faith. When the enemy appears, don't retreat. Don't get up and run. Don't be afraid. You have to just be ready for the battle. It's going to take place. Stand firm. And we need that exhortation too as we think about our lives as Christians. How many times in Scripture are we told that very thing? Be steadfast. In this very epistle in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 58, you remember Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable. Before the enemy appears, you're not thinking about moving in the wrong direction. But now, for the first time, you're going to be in a battle. Don't run away. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you look up in your Bible, the concordance of how many passages tell us, be steadfast, be steadfast. Because sometimes our attitude can change when things become real. I remember again in our own mind, even Peter, you remember Peter that he, Jesus at one point told them that he was going to be crucified and all of that. And he told them, you all at the end in Matthew chapter 26, he told them, you all are going to be scattered. Peter said, no, not me, Lord. Everyone else may be scattered, but I'm not going to fall away. And Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter had it worked out in his mind what it was going to be like and what he would or would not do. And he ended up doing the very thing he was convinced he wouldn't do. He indeed betrayed Jesus three times. And so the point of it is, it's one thing to think in your mind how things are going to be. But when things get real and things start to get heated a little bit, that's when you need to stand fast in the faith. And then those soldiers draw near. They haven't just come over the hill now. Now they're within a few hundred feet or so. Now you can see their ranks and how massive they are, how numerous they are. And Paul says, act like men. Because it's at that time when you really need courage. And over again, we're told in Scripture, be courageous. That's one of the things that Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 says, add to your faith. Remember, add to your faith virtue. And I've said many times, he's probably using that from the standpoint of manliness instead of simply moral excellence. It's debatable, but he's probably telling them, you have to add to your faith some boldness, some courage. What good is a faith that you're not willing to stand up and fight for? And all of us need to stand up, be willing to stand up and fight for the faith that is for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be courageous. In the book of Joshua, you might remember, when Joshua was going to take over the leadership role from Moses. And you could just imagine, we don't know exactly how this all developed. But there's a good chance that Joshua, of course, we know he had some huge shoes to fill, taking over the leadership role for Moses. And maybe at some point, while Moses was still alive, probably Joshua knew what was coming. Everyone probably knew that Joshua would be his successor. And in Joshua's mind, he may have been thinking, you know, I can do this thing. I'll do a pretty good job taking over for Moses. In fact, maybe he thought in some ways I can even do a better job. And then Moses dies. Now you're in the position. And that's a different situation than, again, just contemplating a situation. You know, in driving, everyone's a backseat driver. It's easy. Or the backup quarterback in football. It's easy to be the backup. But now all of a sudden, you're number one. You're the leader. And that's different. And I can imagine how hard it was for Joshua when he actually was appointed to take over for Moses. How intimidating that would be. There must have been some anxiety with regard to that. And so God encourages him in Joshua chapter 1 and at verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." And God is really encouraging him. It's not, well, you might, it's possible. No. You shall, he says, cause this people to inherit the land. But you need to be strong. You need to be courageous, he says. And of course, again, he needed to stand firm. You notice what he says at verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of law should not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." In other words, again, stand firm and you'll be okay. But you have to be courageous. Again, look up in your Bible how many times we're told as Christians to be bold in this ungodly world in which we live, surrounded by sin and sinful things. It takes courage to really stand up for Christ, to proclaim the unperverted gospel of Christ. I'm not talking about behind a pulpit like this to a friendly audience. But I mean when you're on the job or whatever the situation may be, when you find yourself in hostile territory, then what are you going to do? You need to always, no matter what, you need to be courageous and bold enough to do what's right. Don't ever let fear get the best of you. Fear has stopped many Christians in their tracks. Stopped us from telling other people about Jesus. Stopped us from standing for doctrinal truths that many people don't believe. We have to have the boldness and the courage to always stand upon God's word. But then the first bullet flies by. The men in front of you, they're not too far away, but now they charge. And Paul says, be strong. Because when the battle actually begins and you're now in hand-to-hand combat, you have to be strong. The fact of the matter is, those who survive in this spiritual warfare in which we are engaged is those who are strong. And it's why, again, over and over, we're exhorted to be that. Be strong in the Lord. And the wonderful thing is, God has given us all the equipment, everything we need, all the tools to win the battle. You think, of course, of Ephesians chapter 6, and we sang a little bit about it, but you think about the armor of God and you remember how Paul started that whole thing in Ephesians 6 and at verse 10. And this is again the ending of his epistle. Not quite the final greetings, but he's right at the end of the book. And he says at verse 10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord." But now watch what he says next, and this is important. He says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." And so he says, and this is how you use the strength of the Lord. You put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The truth is, you can withstand any attack the devil sets forth. But you have to realize, you have to be strong mentally. You have to be strong. You have to realize that your real strength is from the Lord. Don't rely on yourself and your own power, your own greatness. I tell you right now, the devil is stronger than you personally. He has more experience than you have. He's been in far more battles than you'll ever be in. And so don't try to beat the devil all by yourself. You'll lose every time. You'll become a spiritual casualty in this war. But if you use the Lord's strength, you know, Paul, you remember in his famous statement, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even Paul realized he had to rely on the strength of the Lord. And that's what he encourages these brethren at Ephesus to do. But mentally, in your own mind, you can't waver ever. You have to be strong. In 2 Timothy, one of those passages that talk about Paul uses the military language again. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 1, he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The King James says, "Be strong." And again, we as soldiers, and he's again using military language here. He says at verse 2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Like, those are some things you prepare yourself before that first bomb lands or that first bullet flies, before there's the charge you need to have in your mind. You're going to be strong. You're not going to quit when the battle begins. A lot of Christians who, again, lose their souls because when the actual fighting begins, they quit. They had a good game going on in their own mind. Their plan was solid. It's like, I think it wasn't it Mike Tyson who would say, yeah, they always had a good game plan until the first punch. And things change rapidly. Sometimes in real life, it's like that. When things are peaceful, things are going your way, your bank account is full, you have a nice house, you're driving a nice car, everything seems to be wonderful. But when things start to collapse a little bit, when the devil begins to hurl his darts upon you, things become a little bit uncomfortable. You find yourself in the midst of the battle. That's when a lot of people just quit. Paul said, don't do that. Be strong. On every stage of this battle, no matter where you are in this battle, you need to have the right mentality. What a great exhortation that he gives to us there in 1 Corinthians 16 at verse 13. Let's remember all four of these things. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. And be strong. If you do that, you'll be faithful all the days of your life and be ready when Jesus Christ comes back. I hope that we all are. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. You need to do that first. You need to escape the devil before you have any hope of heaven after a while. You do that through your obedience to the gospel. Mark 16 at verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's where it all begins. That's how you get into the race. That's how you get into the battle in the first place and become a soldier for Christ. You need to know one thing. His side is going to win. Jesus is going to win the war. The devil might win some battles, but Jesus is going to win the war. If you want to be on the winning side, you have to obey the gospel of Christ. I hope that you'll do that. I hope you believe in Jesus, and I hope you'll be baptized even tonight if you're not a Christian. If you're in Christ and you've become kind of a weak soldier, maybe you have fallen asleep and you haven't been alert, the devil has gotten the best of you. Thankfully, God has made arrangements for you to get back on track. Repent and pray God. Ask Him for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you. The blood of Christ will wash away any sin that you have committed if you first are willing to repent. If you need to come forward and request the prayers of the church, that's wonderful. We'll pray for you and encourage you and do whatever we can to help. But get right with God and do it right now as we together stand and sing.